Well, I was very struck when I got to preach today because Father Eric and I have been working through a lot of Barbara's death, but a lot of other deaths in my life and family and within the congregation. And today this message from Ezekiel really spoke to me. Now, Ezekiel is a prophet. Ezekiel means, actually, my God strengthens. Does your God strengthen you? Do you let Him strengthen you? We should, if we don't, and keep our eyes focused on Him. But what struck me was in the first part of Ezekiel here, Isaiah is known as the prophet of salvation. Jeremiah is known as the prophet of judgment. And Ezekiel is known as the prophet of mystery and majesty. And when you think about it, the first part of this, Ezekiel gets his call. He's basically a prophet, prophesying to the people that have been in exile. Daniel's also prophesying, and so is Jeremiah prophesying in Jerusalem. So they're all prophets of the Lord, and they're all speaking to His people. In Jeremiah, in the first part, he's speaking judgment, and he's also speaking repentance, and then he comes to speak about restoration and restoration of the land. I don't know about you, but have you ever really thought about the despair of the Lord? Because the Lord's in despair too. His people are in despair. They finally got to the point where as a prodigal son was brought, but even more so, because not only are the bones dried, they're scattered across the surface, they're dead, they're dry, they're bleached, there's no life in them whatsoever. And that's the picture we get from the opening verse. And then the Lord said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? He didn't say, because he's a prophet, and he's also spoken earlier about the fact that the Lord's going to renew their heart, take the heart of stone, take it out, put a heart of flesh in, and they're going to put a spirit on him and all that in 36. And Jeremiah said the same thing, that he's going to renew a right spirit within them, and he's going to give them a heart of flesh, and a heart that will worship Him, and honor and glorify Him, and transform Him. But He doesn't say yes, and He doesn't say no, because they look pretty dead and pretty dry and lifeless. He says, only You know, Lord. And that's a prophet's way of saying, whatever You desire, Lord. And He knows that the Lord wants to restore and revive. But the people are in a spot where not only are their bones dead, they've lost all hope, and they're cut off. The nation is no more. They're gone. The hope that they've had all the way up into this time is gone. I don't know about you, but the Lord in Genesis 6, there's a verse in there in Genesis 6, 5 through 6, basically, that just tears me apart. When He looks down from heaven and sees lawlessness and only evil that comes out of man's heart, and He's in despair and sorrowful, and He decides to destroy mankind. He regrets that He put mankind on this earth. Now, you look at all the history from Genesis to now, to Ezekiel's time, and the people are in exile for 70 years. These people have lost all hope. The Lord is looking once again at His people, and He's not saying, even though the same things happen, they've worshipped idols, they've gone amok, and He says, prophesy to these bones. You know, the depth and the sorrow of the Lord, we've all been in those places of despair, haven't we? You get down and out. Well, when my first shorty in the Navy, we were stationed in Oregon, Corvallis, Oregon, and I'm using this as an example because there's a couple in that named Captain Harry and Fern McKay, and they were an older couple. He'd served in World War II, but we were new to town. Ryan was just born. I had a new job, shore duty, new house. We're trying to learn to live together. All these things, And Barbara and I at the same time came to the point where we just were down and out, just doing this over and over again, diapers and feeding and da-da, da-da, and work and da-da, da-da, da-da. There's got to be more in life than this. And we're in despair, so to speak, but we're just, there's got to be a better reason for living. And this couple in church came alongside. They've gone through this, their grandparents now, all this kind of stuff. And I look out at you and I see all the Fern and Harry McKays in our parish. And I look and I say, what a gift you are. Because they came alongside, befriended us, and helped us through this time. And loved us. And treated us as their own. And gave us hope. And a hope in the future. And I cherished that moment and that thought. We both did. And so we're no longer in despair. Now, as Ezekiel comes along, and he's looking out over these dry bones, which represent the nation of Israel, all of them, and they're scattered and they're dry. And Ezekiel 11 basically says, 37:11 says, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, and we are indeed cut off. He's heard their cry. He feels their heart. And he now says to the prophet, prophesy to these bones. So he prophesies to the bones and speaks to them. And he preaches the word to them. He says, hear the word of God. And all of a sudden there's a rattling. The word of God stirs in their heart or in their dry bones, and it goes rattle, 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 and they come together, and then they start to have sinew and they start to have flesh, but they're just corpses. And then he says, speak again. Prophesy to the spirit, to the wind, to the four seasons of the wind, and speak to these bones and breathe on them. And you remember when Jesus and the disciples in the upper room after his resurrection says, spoke to them and said, and breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He's giving Ezekiel a command for them to receive the Holy Spirit and to live. And he goes on to say, I will open their graves and bring them all together and restore them to their land while they will prosper. Wow, what a hope in the future. Amen? Amen. Destitute people, but the Lord hasn't given up on them. He hasn't given up on us. He says, I'll restore and I'll bring you into your land and I'll send my spirit upon you. Now, Charles Spurgeon says about these verses, that something that I think is very true and very applicable in the application of this to us in our lives today, as Father Eric said last week. He says, preach the word as Ezekiel did to the bones. Aren't you happy that you don't have to speak to dry bones? But you can speak to people? And proclaim the world. Proclaim the love of God to a dead world. I don't know about you, but in today's world, when I look at this, I have a real problem because of what's been going through in my life and everything else. But also, I look at our nation, which I served for 31 years and defended, and look at the world, and I get kind of down and out sometimes. And I get kind of, what is this all about, Lord? And I pray and I seek his face. And last night was a real blessing to me because we were just soaking in God's presence, and the scriptures read and the music played. And I just really felt God's love and his presence in my life. And it was very healing and soothing to me. Father Eric, I talk about these things, and it's very helpful too because he names it and claims it. And I have to face it and deal with it. And in this part for me, especially since Barbara's death and that, it's like, what's the point of living? And what's the point of... Barbara's kind of the person that was the wind in my sails, although Jesus is replacing the wind in my sails. And I thank God for all of you, because you've also taken up and replaced the wind in my sails too. And Father Eric was a breath of fresh air too. But in that part, Spurgeon says, preach. So everywhere we go, we preach love. We see another person, we speak the truth in love, and we preach love to them. And then when we go, we also pray. And one of the elements last week the Father Eric called us to is to be prayerful about what we do and intentional about what we do. But proclaim the Word of God. And in Michael Green's book, 30 Years That Changed the World, he also says, the Spirit, the Word and the Spirit go forth together. And so you're surrounded. The Spirit dwells you, indwells you, and lives in you, each and every one of us. And he's calling us to be light in this world. And the world is a very dark place right now. There's a lot of angry people out there. There's a lot of people that are hurting. And we need to be that light, that refreshment, and shine on their path. And in today's message, you see Ezekiel doing that in the last part of this. I will open their graves. And then we get to John 11:14. And what happens? Jesus calls, commands, Lazarus, come out. And then he speaks to the people. He says, unbind him. I mean, they could have just fallen off, or he could have snapped his fingers, or whatever. But he didn't. What he said was, unbind him. And he was speaking to all of us. Take his grave clothes off. Unbind him. We have a lot. I haven't seen this movie, so I don't have any reference to it, but I've just liked the term. But The Walking Dead. That's just not a movie that I would want to have any desire to watch. But we have the Walking Dead around us. There's no spirit, no life in them. They're gloomy. They're down. They're out. And they need to hear God's love. What are you passionate about? The Lord's passionate about us. He sent Ezekiel to his people in a very dark place at a very dark time and called him to prophesy to dry bones. He's calling us to speak the word, sometimes using words, but being just showing and demonstrating the love of Christ to others. And pray for the Spirit to lead you, guide you, and to fill them, and then lead them into that truth. Sometimes it's just a word of encouragement. Sometimes it's just a word of, I love you. Sometimes it's just a word, are you okay? And let them listen to them. In Kairos, in the dark place, we see the light of Christ shine so brightly all the time. And yet, I look out here in this world and I see a darker place here than I do in prison. And there's so many people. And the Lord's passionate about them, just like He is passionate about all the people in Ezekiel's time. And He's passionate about us. And Father Eric said last week, we're called to participate in His kingdom. The kingdom of God is near. He dwells in you and I. And we know the Word, and we can speak the truth in love. You know, Psalm 37:4 says what? It says, delight in the Lord always, and I will give you the desires of your heart. He delights in us always. And we delight in Him. Always? We should. And that's what I'm learning to do, is delight in Him always and keep my eyes focused on Jesus, and so should you. But listen and intentionally look forward to the divine appointments He has for you each and every day. And speak His word and pray for the Spirit to lead you, to follow you, and indwell the person you contact with. So Spurgeon says there's two things to learn from Ezekiel. One is compassion for His people. What are you passionate about? The Lord's passionate about you and I. He's passionate about His people in Israel here. But He's also passionate for all these other people. And He wants us, and He wants them. And He's calling you and I to participate, to take their grave clothes off, to unbind them from their sin and from their mucky ways. I was going to use a different term, but I better not. and to speak life into them. Because he's given us that life and that dwells in us. So let us go forth as a community, a prayerful community that proclaims the word, holds our head up high, rejoices in the Lord, and rejoices in the people that he wants us to unbind. Amen.